19. It was a view that the ponytailed old man and the gold-braided captain's hat never got tired of. That, as far as he knew, no one had ever gotten tired of. The island of Tahiti, rearing up before him in the morning, the upper slopes of its green mountains and hanging valleys glowing like fire. The heavy mists that had clung to the bottoms of the deep ravines all night, slowly separating into feathery tendrils as the sun hit them. The sky itself still a pellucid aquamarine, not the pale blue it would turn later on. Behind him, 9 miles away across the Sea of the Moon, was the even more lushly exotic island of Morea, where he lived and from which he just motored. God, what a place! With a sigh of self-satisfaction, he slowly steered Cap'n Jack's Reward, a converted 50-foot Danish fishing trawler, through the ships anchored in Papeete Harbor, and then, edging it forward and back as deftly as if it were a 12-foot dinghy, slipped it into its space along the concrete bulkhead that edged the long waterfront quay. Good. Done. 9:30, according to the clock on the cabin wall. That left him over an hour before the day's clients, 6 Hemingway wannabes referred to him by Tahiti Nights Travel Agency, for the usual 15%, showed up to spend a manly day on the high seas in pursuit of marlin and mahi-mahi. He just hoped nobody threw up on his beautiful, newly stained, but not yet polyurethaned, teak deck. "Morning, Cap'n Jack. Toss me a rope. I'll tie you up." Tehoni, waiting for him on the quay, was his one-man crew, reliable, competent, and unfailingly good-humored, even with problem customers, of whom there were many. Cap'n Jack had often wondered what it was about deep-sea fishing that brought out the worst in so many men. In Tehoni's opinion, it was the result of the temporary absence of the civilizing influence of women, and Cap'n Jack thought it was as good a theory as any. A final check of the ice chest, ham and cheese sandwiches, taro chips, beer, bottled water, fruit juice, apples and oranges, Twinkies, chocolate chip cookies, a quick look in at the head to make sure the toilet paper and paper towels were out, and that it was generally ship-shape. By the end of the day, it sure wouldn't be. A few unnecessary instructions to Tehoni, and after flipping down his eye patch so as not to disturb squeamish passers-by, he was off on his 2-block walk to the Tiki Soft Internet Cafe for his morning coffee and a little surfing of the 21st century variety. Half an hour later, with a chocolate croissant and a heavily creamed and sugared coffee under his belt and a fresh cup on the table in front of him, he had checked and responded to the meager collection of email in his inbox, had ordered 2 new rod holders from Pomare Marine, and had opened his favorites folder to relax for a few final minutes with Up Country Doings, your e-news update for North Hawaii. As usual, there was little in it of concern to him, but reading it was an ingrained habit by now, and he scrolled dutifully through it, looking for names and places that rang a bell. He had already hit the page down key to scroll past Sad News from the North Kohala Coast. There wasn't anything on the coast that interested him, when his mind registered a glimpse of the name Torkelson in the body of the article. Now that interested him. He scrolled back up the page and read intently, his hand rhythmically stroking his beard, his coffee forgotten. Sad News from the North Kohala Coast. The body of Dagmar Birgit Torkelson, one of our true pioneers, was discovered yesterday afternoon on the beach near her home at Hulopo'i Beach Estates. Ms. Torkelson is believed to have died of injuries suffered in a fall. Kona police are investigating the matter. Dagmar Torkelson was 82 years old. She had lived on the Big Island since arriving from Sweden with her 3 brothers in the 1950s. Over the next 40 years, this remarkable family created and slowly developed the Ho'aloha Ranch above Waimea. Now broken up, the Ho'aloha at one time represented a cattle empire second only to that of the Parker Ranch. Ms. Torkelson is survived by her nieces Hedwig Torkelson and Inga Nakoa, and by her nephews Axel and Felix Torkelson. A private memorial service will be held Friday at the Waimea United Church of Christ, followed by an RSVP reception at the Waimea Community Center for family and close friends. Others wishing to pay their respects to the deceased are cordially invited to a public memorial and reception at the center on Saturday at 2 p.m. The old man finished his coffee, paid 10 cents to print the article, put the gold-braided captain's hat back on his head, and went thoughtfully back to his boat.